As you're raising your kids, are you trying to show them the perfect you or the real imperfect you? Here's Shelley Wildman.
I don't know why, but I think some parents feel like if I am wrestling with some element of my faith, I don't want my kids to see that. They might see that as a chink in the armor. But, you know, I think kids really want to see that you are wrestling with your faith, that your faith matters enough to you to talk these things through.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You're on a spiritual journey just like your kids are. But your kids see you on that journey, or do they think that somehow you've arrived? We're going to talk about what intentional discipleship of our kids looks like today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. If you were to go to your adult children, you got three sons, married, all in their 20s, early 30s?
20s, 30s, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I were to go to your kids today, your sons, and say...
No, please don't. I know where you're going. You're going to say, what's the Wilson mission?
No, I'm not, okay. I'm not going to ask them to define the mission, although that would be interesting. Could they define it, do you think?
No.
Okay.
Yes, they could. Of course, they'd say it perfectly. Want me to call them right now?
Yeah, let's try that. So I gave the phone number for your son, Cody, to our engineer, Keith, and I think we've got him on the line. Cody, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so this is your son, Cody Wilson,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
You
want
to say hi to him?
Hi,
Cody.
Doing?
So, Cody, we've been talking with your mom and dad here on Family Life Today about intentional parenting. And first of all, my question for you was, were they intentional as parents? Did you feel like they were living on mission and had a focus for what they were doing as they raised you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely intentional. I think sometimes with the busyness of life, that can look a little differently, especially for our family. If you know my parents, they're not the best at planning things.
Yes.
So it's not like, it wasn't like, hey, this week we're doing this at this time. They're just never going to function like that, regardless of parenting, just in life in general. So I think the intentionality, I do think they had a vision for my life, for my brother's life, for us as a family. And I think a lot of that vision was carried through in their personal lives and with our family. And because of that, I think a lot of what I would say I learned would be the idea of, like, so much was caught in addition to being taught.
Right.
And so I think because their lifestyle was so authentic and genuine and how they pursued the Lord and also the joy and the authenticity they lived with at home, there was an intentionality that was pretty organic, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Your dad was telling me that there was some kind of a Wilson family mission statement or motto or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember anything like that?
I have no idea.
Thanks, Cody. You're making me look really good.
So
I told you, Bob.
I'm the youngest son, so all the wheels fell off by the time I came around. All the intentionality went out the window with the third son. You know what I mean? I just got the bottom of the barrel.
So, okay, we got to go now.
No.
That's enough.
No, what was it you said was the Wilson family mission?
I mean, and again, Bob, you remember me saying, our kids probably didn't hear this,
yes,
but Ann and I talked about raising L3 warriors, and warrior was a key word,
right,
that would impact the world. L3, Cody, you remember the love, lock, live. So love God and others.
Yeah, for sure.
Lock arms in community and live open-handedly. That was sort of ours.
That was the behind the scenes. But you didn't, like at family dinner, you weren't saying, let's all chant the Wilson.
I would have liked to have done that. But
she
that
would have loved
flown.
It.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cody, do you remember thinking, I'm being raised as a warrior?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely. I think I've heard words like that. I would say, being a kid, I thought I would probably think it was pretty weird if my parents were like, we're raising you to be an L3. I'd be like, what? That's not cool to me. You know what I mean?
I do.
I feel like especially words are so important. So I think most of my life, I don't think I ever remember my parents speaking negative words over me in the sense of my identity or who I was. I think if anything, the words that I heard were complimentary and really powerful in the sense of you're a leader or, you know, even things being smart or athletic. I think those were the things. And again, those are just the overarching themes of day-to-day life where there's intentionality, and then there's just like, I think they really believed that about me. So it was an overflow of what they really thought. So it was organic in that sense as well.
So let me have you think back to maybe high school graduation. And if I could take you back to when you're 18 years old and say, Cody, I want you to answer this sentence for me. My parents will think I've really been a success. I have accomplished what I'm supposed to accomplish if I, and then you complete the sentence. What did you think your parents cared most about for you when you were 18 years old?
I mean, I think ultimately they just wanted me to be following Jesus. That's what I would say.
So at the end of the day, because you had athletic gifts, you played football, you were smart, you had speaking gifts, leadership gifts, but at the end of the day, you would say what mattered most to them was, is Cody following Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd say that at the time, now looking back, I don't know if that, like, they would have viewed me as a success or a failure based on something I did. Honestly, I think they probably just wanted me to be happy in the sense of living a life of purpose and of joy and doing what the Lord made me to be. I mean, I think even God as a father, like, I mean, he finds delight when we delight in him, and I think any father finds joy when their children are in joy. So I think beyond success, I think they probably would have just ultimately wanted me to live a life of joy and of purpose, and ultimately within that, being the person God made me to be and having a thriving relationship with him in the midst of that. Looking back, but yeah, I think when I was 18, I probably was like, yeah, I think I just want me to follow Jesus. And I think probably with my dad's history with being a chaplain with the Lions and with my own history of playing sports, like, I don't think in any sense it's like, man, you play college football or you get a scholarship, like, that was viewed as the fear of success, because even those things can be fleeting. So I think for me it was definitely way more eternal in the sense of legacy, calling, and my relationship with Jesus.
Well, you know what? Whether you remembered L3 Warrior or not, you got the big picture. Mm-hmm. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters the most. And thanks for taking time with us, Cody. You want to say goodbye to your son?
Yeah, thanks, Cody.
Bye, Cody.
Awesome.
I thought you were going to say Dad wanted you to play in the NFL.
That's true.
And you did. That was sort of fun. Actually, you want to hear something from my perspective?
Yeah.
When Cody was in the Detroit Lions locker room, and he lockered right beside Calvin Johnson, so it was pretty cool to walk in there and see a possible Hall of Famer, Calvin 6'6", and then Cody, my son, 5'. How tall are you now, Cody?
5'10", 5'9".
Yeah, he's 5'8". So anyway, you're 5'9". Here's my point. I always sort of thought if this could ever happen, it'd be the ultimate dream as the Lions chaplain and his dad. And then when he ended up co-pastoring with us at our church, I realized that NFL dream was too small. Hmm. I mean, I'm getting teary thinking about what we get to do together now as father son leading a congregation to go on mission is so much greater. You know, the NFL is a neat little thing for a while, but man, this is the ultimate. This is a parent's dream.
Yeah.
To raise sons and daughters who are warriors for the kingdom.
Can I add something else I thought would be a good story?
Sure.
Uh-oh.
Well, I was just thinking, because I think this is really important, and this is what I'm talking about, like organic. Like, it's funny. When I think about intentional things, like, I remember way less the conversations that were had. Obviously, there's important ones, but, like, things that are burned into my memory. Like, I remember waking up, being in high school, and walking through the kitchen, and our deck was in the back. And for some reason, my mom would always, you always had dumbbells out there, so you'd be, like, working out on the deck. But I remember walking by and, like, just seeing her on her knees and her hands lifted and her, like, worshiping Jesus in the midst of, I don't know if she was working out or whatever she was doing. But, like, those are the visceral memories that were, I think, honestly, way more intentional and impactful, a vision of what it looked like to follow Jesus and even my own life. Like, I've heard the quote, there's so many people that claim it, but it says, you teach what you know but reproduce who you are. And obviously, you imitate what you see. And so it's like, if you want to be intentional, your lifestyle is going to be the thing that's copied, not what you say. So be intentional with the way you're living, because it's going to create something that's going to be reproduced.
That's great. Thanks for sharing the story, and thanks for sharing some time with us, Cody.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Talk to you again.
See ya.
Well, we kind of sprung that on both you and your son, but hearing him reflect on that, you can kind of look back and say, in spite of whatever we didn't do, should have done, did poorly, God still moves in the midst of our imperfections to accomplish things.
It's interesting because I remember when they were little, when he was little, so many nights laying in bed thinking, I'm a bad mom. I've blown it. I yelled at them. And I think that this shame piece can come over us as moms that we feel disqualified. Yeah.
We have a guest who's joining us today who we haven't introduced yet because we got sidetracked with your son. But Shelley Wildman is here. Shelley, welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks so much.
Shelley has written a book about intentional parenting. The book is called First Ask Why, Raising Kids to Love God Through Intentional Discipleship. And Shelley, part of what we've just heard from Cody is that even if you're not intentional about what you're doing, if you're intentional about who you're being, that may be the more important thing.
Oh, absolutely. Cody said some wonderful things that I was like, oh, yes, yes, that's it. He used the word authenticity, that you guys were so authentic. And that's what he picked up. I have parents ask me all the time, you know, just what can I do? What can I do? And I feel like I'm doing it wrong. I'm messing up. And I just keep saying, just be authentic. Be yourself. What you have in your heart, that is going to flow through to your kids, which is also, you know, a caution to us as parents. We have to be where we need to be with the Lord in order to pour into our kids.
Well, and as we worked on the video series, The Art of Parenting, and Dennis and Barbara Rainey wrote a book by that title, one of the things that we wanted to make sure we communicated was that this model of what you are is what's most significant. In fact, if you are teaching your kids the right stuff and you're not living it,
absolutely,
that may be more spiritually detrimental. If your kids are seeing hypocrisy, it's almost like it would be better for them to see authentic lack of spiritual passion than for them to see an inauthentic verbalized, we're all about Jesus, and then, no, we're really not.
Our lifestyle doesn't match it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say we don't all mess up.
Sure.
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
But when we can then come to our kids in humility and say, you know what? I really did mess up, and this isn't how God wants me to act. And that idea of, again, being authentic in our humility is so important.
You know, it's really interesting that, I don't know if it's recent research, but youth pastors are always trying to evaluate, how's our youth ministry doing?
Right.
You know what they've recently sort of discovered? We get these kids in our youth group, middle school, high school. They get really involved. Usually there's a weekly meeting. There's retreats. There seems to be fire in their bellies with these kids on their walk with Jesus. Really effective. And then they go to college, and they grow up, and they walk away from the faith.
Yep.
And they're like, what are we missing? What isn't sticking? What isn't working? You know what they found out? The kids that stay are the ones that come home from the retreat and go to a family that is has the same values, is living it out authentically in front of them. Yeah. The ones that go home to families that aren't living it, often it doesn't stick. And so it's like, man, you want to impact a high school kid? Don't have a great youth ministry. Have a great family ministry. Yeah. Help those families really walk with God. So as you talk about this in your book, you know, it's an overflow. When I was a young dad, especially, we're exhausted.
Right.
We have no time. We're trying to work, trying to raise kids, trying to get them to bed, trying to get them to all the sports activities. How does a mom and dad keep their fire in their own spiritual walk real so that it can be an overflow that is caught by their kids?
Yeah. You know, I think you have to be committed to having that relationship with Christ in your own life and encouraging each other, nurturing that in each other. And also, you know, something just occurred to me too, is wrestling in front of our kids. Sometimes I think parents feel like, if I am wrestling with some element of my faith, I don't want my kids to see that. They might see that as a chink in the armor. But, you know, I think kids really want to see that you are wrestling with your faith, that your faith matters enough to you to talk these things through.
Well, here's why that's important, because when they face doubts,
yes, and they will,
if they think, I don't know what's wrong with me, mom and dad never faced doubts.
Absolutely.
Then they think, I'm just different than mom and dad. And they will start to drift because they feel like, I can't get to where mom and dad are. I can't be that person. Yeah.
And they'll struggle in private.
Right.
Because they're afraid to.
Absolutely.
Remember when CJ, our oldest, came to you with something he didn't think was right about believing in God because, remember? He wasn't even 12 years old, and you're like, he is so intelligent. He's like, why would God command no murder?
Oh, he was four, actually.
Four?
He was 4 years old, and we were reading the story of David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was reading it, and it was to the part where David cut off Goliath's head.
Yeah.
And CJ stopped, and he said, I don't understand. I thought the Bible said we weren't to murder, and yet David murders Goliath, and that's okay? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the funny thing about it.
What's mom's answer to that
I
question?
Said, hey, Dave, how would you answer that?
Pastor Dave.
Exactly, good answer.
and honestly, she did then, but as CJ became 10, 12, and he's got a really sharp mind, he would doubt.
Yeah.
And I remember Ann coming to me one time. Remember, she was freaking out, like, he's not believing. I'm like, this is awesome, because I struggle with those things. And it's like, we can talk, because he's got a dad who has asked those hard questions. Let's ask him together. So it was almost a freak out moment. It was also, it's just what you said. Yeah. Let's struggle together.
And that shows our kids that it matters enough to us to have those same struggles with them. That was often our dinner time conversation. Mm. I mentioned in the book, we kind of got an F in family devotions. We weren't that great at that.
But that's so encouraging to hear, because I think a lot of families have a picture like, we should be sitting down talking, what went wrong? Why didn't it work? I always thought, well, with girls it would work.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
because boys, it didn't work.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible, and then we felt this awful guilt.
Yes.
Terrible guilt, because I'm sure everybody else in my wonderful church was doing it just right, and we could not get it right. But you know what we did was we talked about those questions, and, you know, we struggled together.
I'll tell you what, just for the encouragement of our listeners, if you go to familylifetoday.com, there's a video clip there. Kevin DeYoung, who's a pastor, shares about their family devotions, and it's a mess for them, too.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, and so if you want some real encouragement around your house, you can go and watch the video of just Kevin talking about, this is part from the Art of Parenting video series, but it's just that clip of him talking about family devotions, and I think we have to recognize that the Deuteronomy 6 model that we often hear about, you have your family devotions in the car, and as you're on a walk, and as you're at the grocery store, and that's not to say that you don't have formal times of teaching times you get the family together, open the Bible, or that you can't at dinner time just say, I'm going to read three verses.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we'll ask if anybody has anything to pray about. I mean, you can keep it really simple, but just know that there's not a requirement in heaven. They don't look at you when you get to heaven and go, okay, now look, we saw the family devotions. You did get an F in
you
family devotions.
You know what I also, what I mentioned in the book is I looked at the life of Jesus. He had disciples. We are discipling our kids.
Right. Well, it's interesting, because I did think that as a mom, my number one job is being a discipler of my kids first. And so I had this thought, like, as a discipler, I should always have something that God put in me. And it made me desperate for Jesus. I realized if I would go 5 days and I never mentioned Jesus, like, whoa, I haven't invested my own personal time with him to hear God of what he's saying to me in his word. And so it would make me cling to him and say, God, what are you saying to me today that I can pass on? But I think that's good for us to remember, like, is there something going on that's fresh each day, not something that I'm pulling out 20 years ago that God did? And our kids are looking for that, and even dialoguing about that of, maybe I struggled today with this, or this thought, I read this scripture, or I had this conversation. That's just a part of our dialogue.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be forced.
Right.
You know, our kids sniff out that hypocrisy in us if we're just like, ooh, I have to talk about Jesus today. You know, it doesn't have to be forced, but it can be authentic. In the chapter on prayer, I talk about, you know, just how do you develop a sense of prayer in your kids? It's really hard, I think. But one of my daughters said to me, oh, Mom, talk about praying in the car. And that was one of those examples of, you're having these deep conversations in the car and you don't really know either what to say or how to respond. And I would often just say, okay, we'd pull in the garage and I'd say, can I just pray for you right now? And I'd put my hand on their arm and we would just have a quick moment of prayer. But I felt like, okay, that's the right response at that time.
That's amazing. She remembers that.
I know.
And
it.
You didn't even think of it.
No.
Mm-mm. But it impacted her.
Yeah.
And I would add this, and it's in your book, is as a parent, you got to be there.
You do.
I mean, if we're called to be the disciples of our kids, yep. You can't do it when you're not there.
That's
it's interesting.
Right.
Just Sunday, Ian and I together spoke on parenting at our church, and I shared something that most people didn't know. I said, you know, 29 years ago, we started this church, and many of you weren't here. But I stood on the stage in the first year after my wife had said to me, first chapter of Vertical Marriage book, I've lost my feelings for you. And I realized a lot of that was I'm not home and I'm not there. So I said to her, you need me here to help put the kids to bed. When do you need me? I can't be here every night. I can't be here every morning. What would you pick, morning or evening? And she said evening. So Steve Andrews and I said to the congregation, because his marriage was in trouble as well. It's sort of a historic moment that nobody in church ever has heard before. Mm-hmm. But I said, we said to the church, we're not going to be available to any of you in the evenings anymore as your pastors. And it was a smaller church at the time. But if you want to meet with us, our wives had said, the morning's the time. So 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., we'll be there. 7 p.m., we're going to be home, laying in bed with our boys and our daughters, praying, reading scripture, helping our wives them to bed. Here's what I shared. I said, when we shared that on stage, we thought congregation's going to applaud. They're going to be like, way to lead, way to show us. They got mad. Mm. We heard more complaints like, wait, you're our pastor. I work all day. The only time I can meet you is at evening. And we said, sorry.
Yeah.
This is something. And now I can look back over 30 years later and go, one of the best decisions we ever made, being there to pour into the disciples. They're not perfect, but man, I just say to every husband, every dad, every mom listening, do whatever it takes to seize those moments, because we know.
Because it's a season too.
Right.
You're not, you know, probably now you take evening appointments if you have to, because you don't have kids at home, but during that season, you needed to be there.
Be there, abide in Christ, and be authentic about your relationship with him so that your kids who don't remember anything you ever said to him do remember you on your knees, out on the back porch. Do remember that your relationship with Jesus was the real thing and that you were living that out and you were there enough so that they could see it. And again, it's not that you can't do a lot of what you talk about in the book. These are things that are the activities that can surround that.
Right.
But that's the foundation of it all, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the baseline for this. And it's on that platform that you then start to build the structure of intentional discipleship for your kids. Shelley's outlined that in a book called First Ask Why, which is a book that we're talking about this week. The subtitle is Raising Kids to Love God Through Intentional Discipleship. And we've got Shelley's book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to order. Again, the title of the book, First Ask Why. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's 1-800-358-6329 to get your copy of the book. Let me just say, this subject of intentional discipleship is at the heart of the video series that Family Life produced called The Art of Parenting. It's a companion to Dennis and Barbara Rainey's book by the same name. And it's exciting for us to see how many individuals and churches, how many people are hosting Art of Parenting groups in their neighborhoods, having a small group with the parents of their kids' friends all coming over once a week to go through this material. Churches are using this in class settings or in small group settings. And the Ministry of the Art of Parenting is expanding worldwide. We're seeing tens of thousands of families go through this content in Central and South America. And because of your support during the month of August, we're moving forward with translating this material into Arabic and into Mandarin. So thank you for helping us take full advantage of the matching gift opportunity we had in the month of August. We appreciate your partnership with us. In fact, we need your partnership day in and day out. the cost of producing and syndicating this daily radio program, keeping our website up and active, making this content available through a variety of platforms, the events we host, and the resources we create. You make all of that possible when you support the Ministry of Family Life Today. And you can do that easily. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. And keep in mind, when you do, you're making practical biblical help and hope for marriage and family available to hundreds of thousands of people all around the world every day. So again, thanks for your partnership. Now, tomorrow we're going to continue our conversation with Shelley Wildman, talking about our most important priority as parents, and that is the intentional discipling of our children. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.